Well, good morning, church. It's an honor and a privilege to be back once again. Amen. I always am thankful when, you know, when Trevor reaches out and looks to see if I'm available. And if I'm available or if not, I've made ways where I could be available because I just love coming here, you know, the few times. This is my fifth time here. And I've, you know, I recognize faces. Forgive me, I don't remember everybody's name, but I recognize faces, and you guys are so welcoming, and it's a beautiful thing. And just to see the things that you guys do, right? Because I think it's so important that we don't lose sight of the domestic missionary trips that need to be done, right? Domestically. Yes, I'm not saying that there's not a need overseas, but domestically there's great needs. And even more so in the community that we live in, right? Let's not overlook that as missionary, right? That's missionary work within the community. Just because we're not getting on a plane and going overseas or going to a country that we're not familiar with, that's not what marks missionary. Missionary means any service that we do that reaches out with the hand of God, right, to help those in some circumstance that don't know the gospel of Jesus Christ, that can use physical help, whether it's through living conditions, whether it's through poverty, whatever it is. And in this community, as I look up here, you guys are doing those things, right? So it's just a beautiful thing to see that and just to know that. And we don't need headlines, amen? Because I know there's a lot of things out there on social media sometimes that kind of criticize what the church doesn't do, okay? And I don't think that that's fair, but that's fine because we walk in humility. We're not trying to make sure that everybody knows what we do. We know that God knows what we're doing, and we know that God knows that we're doing it with hearts that are reflective of his heart for those who know not Jesus Christ. Amen. And so it's not about being recognized. It's not about any of that. It's all about just honoring God and serving the people that God has put in our immediate area, right, in our territory, those who have been assigned to us, however that looks, amen? So today I get the privilege and the honor of launching the series of going through the book of Psalms. And I don't believe we're going to go through all the books. There's just going to be some highlighted books that will be chosen through this series. But I was given the opportunity to open it up. And the book of Psalms is a beautiful book, right? It's a book of poetry. A lot of emotion is expressed in there, a lot of turmoil, just a lot of emotion that shows joy, that shows distress, that shows agony, that shows strength, that shows weakness. There's just a lot of variety of things, and sometimes it's not as glamorous because, you know, it's not, you know, hardcore or it's not tough sounding. But the reality of it is, even as a man, I know and I can relate to a lot of these emotional experiences that these writers have expressed on paper, which is now our Bible. So this morning, I'm going to open up with the book of Psalms, chapter 1. Amen? Chapter 1. So if you want to open up this morning to the book of Psalms, chapter 1. It's 6 verses, and I think it's right up my alley because I like talking about the reality of the life that we have in Christ Jesus. And I also like reminding us, if for those who know not Jesus Christ, what forecast is for them in their life. And because we are the reality of where we are today, we are in a new covenant era, right? We are in the church era. So when I speak to this book, when we go through this message, I'm gonna relate it to our New Testament walk, our New Testament life, and you'll see what I mean by that because a lot of it is not just rooted in the Old Testament as far as these 6 verses, right? It is this expression that is a reality for those who are in Christ Jesus and a reality for those who are not in Christ Jesus. I'm labeling the first half of this message, which is the first 3 verses, the good life, hallelujah. And the second half of this message is going to be the bad life. And so for those who are not familiar with this chapter in the book of Psalms, it is a short chapter. It is to the point, and we're going to read through it. We're going to pray for the Lord's blessing, and then we're going to dive right in. So hopefully your books, your Bibles are open, your phones are open to the book of Psalms chapter 1. And verse 1 through 6. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaves does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Verse 4, not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Father, we just come before you this morning as we continue our time here in this worship. Lord, we've already entered into a time of worship by way of music and fellowship, Lord God. And Father, we ask that you would bless the remainder of this service, Lord, as we now enter into a time of worship by way of the Word of God. Father, bless this Word, Lord God, which is your Word. Help us receive it, edify us through it, Lord God. Allow us to be motivated, to be encouraged, to be convicted by all of what we hear today through your Word, Lord God. And Father, I surrender my will to you this morning. I just ask that I could be a vessel that glorifies the name of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, Lord God. Father, let your word shine through as we walk through it, Lord God. And so, Father, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to start at verse 1, and we're just going to kind of walk through each verse, and we're going to draw out some understanding, some points, some application. And at the end of it all, we should be more excited because we, as the church, are living that good life, amen? And I truly can say that I have a great life. My life is rich. My life is wonderful. The life that I have with my wife, who is really the star of this show, okay? She'll be here second service. But I have a great life. I have a great life. But I say that sincerely and authentically, even though I have a lot of stress, I have a lot of frustration that is tied into my job every day. God uses my job to keep me, as Paul says, to keep me from becoming conceited. He has given me a thorn in my flesh, right? And even though Paul pled 3 times to remove this thorn, God says, in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. So then Paul responds with this beautiful articulate response. He said, well, because of that, I will delight all the more then in my sufferings, in my persecutions, in all my hardships. And so I take that same thing and I see God refining me through my job, refining me with all the circumstances. And in that, I can truly say my life is blessed. And sometimes you may see me at work, you'll be like, that doesn't look like you have a blessed life. Huh? You know, and I have to catch him. But God is, you know, we're walking through it when we're walking through it. So this gives me encouragement because we, as the blessed individual, because we have put our trust in Jesus Christ, it is not by our will or by our strength or by our ability that we can call ourselves blessed. It is through the relationship that we have in Christ Jesus. Amen. We know that John 15:5 says, away from me, you can do no good thing. So we need to remind ourselves that we are blessed as we read this because of who he is and because what he has provided for us through the finished work of Jesus Christ. So let's take this. The book of Psalms opens up this whole book by dispelling the common illusion that a sinful life is a good life, because the world will tell you, the world portrays that this sinful life is a wonderful life. It's your life. Live it how you want to live it. Who is anybody else to tell you how to live this life? You only have one life. Live it to the fullest. Right? That's the ways of the world. That's the eyes of the world. That's the standpoint of the world. Daily, the world is being brainwashed into thinking that true and lasting satisfaction is found in indulging the lusts of the flesh. You see it everywhere you go. Social media platforms, movies, culture. Right? You go right outside and it's just screams anti-God behavior. They may not declare it. They may not even realize it. But it's anti-God behavior. It's not God honoring. And all of these things, social media especially, is the biggest, right? The biggest area where it suggests that this way of life, fulfilling your own needs, permissiveness, is the road to fulfillment. And the life that we choose to live, the life that we have been given the ability to live by way of the Holy Spirit, this pure life, the life of purity, is dismissed as tyrannical, meaning extreme, excessive. Well, I don't know about you, but I want to be a fanatical for Jesus Christ. I want people to look at me and say, man, isn't that a little extreme? Right? You're just looking. You're just looking. What harm is looking? Okay? That's the mindset of the world, right? I'm not a perfect individual. We all have shortcomings. We all have weaknesses. We all that. But we have the ability in the Spirit to put to death those things that the world says is okay. We live contrary to what the world says is okay. Even in the details of our life. People may look at that and say, man, that's a little much. Really? You go to church every Sunday? Right? A Wednesday Bible study? Isn't that like, you know? So we should be elated that we are identified in this way. That people look and say, man, yeah, I believe in God, but that's a lot, right? And it's a shame because the way that it is presented, but the psalmist sets it all straight right here. He lays it all out. He clarifies the reality of what it looks like and what it truly means to be blessed because of our faith in Jesus Christ. And just so you know, and you will always hear me say it, that even though we're in the Old Testament, Jesus Christ is speaking. When it says, thus saith the Lord, we need to understand that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit has always existed. So when people try to tell me, oh, did Jesus ever really say that? Right? You ever hear that? Did Jesus ever really say that in the Gospels? Did you ever really hear him say that that's not okay and that's not right in the Gospels? No, but have you read Leviticus? Have you read Deuteronomy? Oh, no, but that's the Old Testament. And God is eternal. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So when we read this, we understand that Jesus is laying out for us through the gospel presentation here. So verse 1 says, blessed. Anything that starts off like that, we absorb that for us, right? We believe that that is talking directly to us. Blessed is the man or woman who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. The truly blessed person is the one who steers clear of the lifestyle of the ungodly, right? In his contact or in our contact with them, we avoid any type of complicity with them. Even any kind of implication that we approve of their lifestyle. We have to walk in a way that is loving, that is God-honoring, speaking the truth in love. But by no means do we find ourselves, because this is the road to destruction. I love how the psalmist writes, walk, stand, and sit. That's a progression in your life. You can be walking through life and you see this sinful behavior or in your surroundings and work or whatever, and you're not stopping, you're just walking, you see it, and one day you're walking and then you just stand and you kind of just watch it. And you watch it. And before you know it, you're sitting with them, partaking with them. The progression of backsliding starts while you walk by the behavior, then you stand by the behavior, and now you're sitting in the behavior. And so the psalmist writes it out. Let us not even pause to do that. In our contact, we shouldn't even be associated by any means with that. This does not mean, though, because we're talking New Testament conversation, New Testament mindset. This does not mean that the blessed person or the saved person or the Christian, in all actuality, isolates themselves completely from the wicked. We don't isolate ourselves from the world, because Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 and 10, it says, if we can bring that one up, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10 talk about that if he's not talking about the world, where he's talking about in chapter 5, he's encouraging us to remove ourselves from the immoral brother that's in the church, right? He says, do not associate with the immoral, with the wicked, with any of those who are not behaving correctly. And he goes, oh, no. I'm not talking about the world, because if that's the case, then you have to leave the world, right? So we know that the Bible is not telling us to isolate ourselves from the world. He is, matter of fact, instead, he's telling us to witness to them. We need to be a witness to them. We just don't walk by them. We just don't stand and stare at them. We just don't sit and commune with them. We need to witness to them. Amen? This is the New Testament revelation. This is the New Testament truth. We are what? Ministers of reconciliation. We are called to minister to them, to witness to them about sin, righteousness, and judgment. Right? Why? Because that should sound familiar to you, because we know that in John 16:8, we know that that is the work of the Holy Spirit. And if we, as the believer in Jesus Christ, have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and then the Holy Spirit is working through us, then we should be witnessing in a Christ-like manner about sin, righteousness, and judgment. Okay? How does that look for you? With the person that God has called you to minister to, I don't necessarily know. But if it's the Holy Spirit ministering through you, then it's what God has called you to do. And seeks to introduce them to Christ, the one true source of everlasting pleasure. The righteous person is a real friend. The righteous person is a real friend to the ungodly, but not a partner to them. You can befriend somebody who know not Jesus Christ. You don't partner with them, though, right? There's a big difference there. We need to walk with that mindset, understanding, hey, listen, you're my friend. I work with you. I pray for you. You know, I concern your neighbors, however, but we don't partner with them, okay? We don't partner with them. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. It is impossible to visualize a blessed man or a blessed person who is not also a man of God's word, a person of God's word. You're not going to see somebody who's considered blessed or righteous in Christ without assuming or realizing that this person is a man of God's word, is a person of God's word. You have to be in God's word, because we know that all scriptures God breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that. It lets us know this, that it prepares us for every good work, that it equips us for every good work, that it helps us. So it's through the word of God that we know God's will. Listen, you can be sitting there contemplating, I don't know what God's will is for my life. You want to know God's will? Read God's word. You want to know God's ways? Read God's word. It's there. I don't know how to do it. It's there. It's all there. And this is how we're blessed, because we delight in the word of God. We meditate in our heads. It's no longer written on tablets of stone, but it's written on the tablet of our heart. We don't have to have the scriptures open. But if you have inhaled enough of God-breathed scripture, you have it in your spirit. And you can walk around reminding yourself of these things that you know, and the Holy Spirit is faithful to bring them back to your remembrance. So this is what it is look like being blessed. And in verse 3, it breaks it down. It's just a wonderful life to be in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 3 says, the person, he is like a tree planted. Who is he? That blessed person, that blessed man who saturates himself in the counsel of God, who absorbs the 66 book love letter that he has given us to glean from. That is the man that is referenced here. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, planted by rivers of water. He has a never failing supply of nourishment and refreshment, right? We know that. We read that in the Gospels. God, Jesus Christ, in John chapter 4, goes up to the Samaritan woman, and she asks him, hey, do you want some of this water? He goes, no, but you should ask me, do you want some water? If you realize who you're talking to, only Jesus can say something like that, right? We also see that in John 7:37. He talks about that. Whoever is thirsty, let him drink from the fountain of the everlasting water. Okay? You've heard my testimony. I used to be a heavy drinker. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to make a confession. I'm still a heavy drinker. But today I'm drinking on the living water of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So I don't have any shame about taking it from waking up in the morning and reaching for a bottle. Now I'm waking up in the morning reaching for the Bible. That's God, because I'm blessed. I'm blessed because of Jesus Christ. And also, this person, we, the church, it brings forth its fruit in season. We're always going to be bearing fruit. We're always going to be bearing fruit. He displays the graces of the Spirit, and his words and actions are always timely and always appropriate. The book of Proverbs, throughout that, always talks about this timely word, right? Just what a blessing it is to give a timely word. And we also see in Galatians chapter 5, we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. This is what it looks like to bear the fruit. We're always bearing that fruit. God is always going to supply that. He's always nourishing us with the beautiful nourishment that produces the fruit in and out of season in our life. This is what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus Christ. If you feel malnourished, you're taking too much vitamin I. You're living off vitamin I, right? But the Bible talks about this. If we saturate ourselves in the nourishing word of God, we're never going to be fruitless in no matter what season. Because why? Our leaf also shall never wither. The Bible says this. It says it that whose leaf does not wither. His spiritual life, our spiritual life, is not subject to seasonal changes, or it's not circumstantial. It's not based on what's happening. It's based on what happened on the cross. That's why we don't live by, oh, happy. If I gave each and every one of you right now $100, you'd be happy. Until you spent it. And once you spent it, then you're not so happy no more, because it came and went, right? So happiness is based on what's happening at the moment. That's why we have joy, because joy withstands the trials and the circumstances of the ups and downs in our life, and we can stay steadfast in the reality of the joy of the Lord, right? So our spiritual life is not subject to seasonal changes, not subject to our emotional changes, because if we were subject to our emotions, we'd be like this. But we have to stay steadfast on the reality of our spiritual life that is rooted and founded in Jesus Christ, so we will not be tossed to and fro with every wave of doctrine that comes our way, every conniving teaching that may not be truth, that may not be authentic, that may not be biblical, but we'll know it and we'll be able to discern it. And this kind of person shall prosper in everything he undertakes. Well, I'm still waiting for this, and we're talking about spiritual prosperity. Okay? Spiritual prosperity. I'm talking about I'm rich in the Lord. I am rich in the Lord. And that gives me the ability to walk through the things that I walk through every day. That's why I can say I have a good life. Because it's through Jesus Christ and the richness that I have in him and the prosperity in my spiritual life that though I may falter and complain at time to time during these trials, I get through them. I'm still standing. We're still standing. And for that and that alone, I praise Jesus Christ, because he is the sustainer of our life. He is the one that provides us this nourishment that allows us not to be subject to circumstances if we keep our eyes fixed on him, the author, perfecter of our faith. And this reason, of course, is that he is us. We are living in fellowship with God. We're living in fellowship with the Lord, and all his service is therefore guided by the Holy Spirit. We're living in fellowship with God. We see that in 1 John chapter 1. It talks about fellowship with God. It turns to a negative because it talks about if you claim to have fellowship with God, but it shows you what it looks like to have fellowship with God, because he is light, and he who has fellowship with him will walk in the light as well. And the light that we have and the light that we walk in is in the light of Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage us this morning, the only way to be efficient and successful in a Christian life is to be led by the Spirit of God. How many of us are allowing the Spirit of God to lead us? How many of us are allowing God to navigate us and to guide us and to allow him to orchestrate what he has for us in our life and surrender that to him? Lord, not my will be done, but yours. If we understand that life is not based on what we have, but who we have, and you'll realize that what you have is more than enough because of who you have. You have Jesus Christ. I say this time and time again, we are living the most successful life than anybody out there. I don't care Elon Musk. I don't care money, fame, none of that is not any better and not any more successful than you. Why are you living the most successful life? Better than any movie star, any rich millionaire, billionaire, because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is why. That is why we are living the most successful life. That is why the only person I want to be known to is Jesus Christ. And this is that person. But the Bible says, not so the wicked. Not so the wicked. Verses 4, not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. They are like chaff. This is, they are neither well planted, fruitful, enduring, nor prosperous. They don't have a deep root. They're a false grain. We see that in the book of in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, we see that. We talk about that darnel seed, that false grain. That grain, that seed that grows into a weed looks exactly like a seed of wheat when they're side by side. You can't tell the difference until it blossoms, until it harvests, until it sprouts. Then you can identify the difference between that. So they may think that they're deep-rooted. They may think that they're fruitful. But according to Jeremiah 17, 5 and 6, it talks about cursed is a man who depends on his own strength. Jeremiah, very close parallel to this chapter, I encourage you to read Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 10, talks about this very thing. Like chaff, when the Bible says like chaff, they lack body or substance, right? There's no substance to them in their life. When the storms of life blow, their foundation proves to be unstable. It proves to wither. It proves to just be made of sand. And we see that in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 shows us that, right? It talks about the wise builder and the foolish builder. It says, therefore, every man who hears these words, this is Jesus talking. Therefore, every man who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. There is no substance. There is no root for the wicked. The Bible makes it very clear that the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Now, when you read that on face value, you're thinking, what, they're not going to be judged? No, just the opposite. What the writer is really saying is just, yes, of course, we know that they are going to stand in the great white throne of judgment. They are going to stand. But what it's really saying is that initially, they're not going to have a leg to stand on, meaning they're not going to be able to stand under that judgment. They're going to falter under that judgment. They don't have a leg to stand on. They don't have any righteousness. They don't have any argument to satisfy the judgment of God. We have the one argument. We put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's the satisfying conclusion to the judgment. But unfortunately, to the ungodly, they don't have a leg to stand on. They don't have anything, they don't have an adequate defense to defend them on why they shouldn't be sent to eternal damnation. Furthermore, they will never stand in the congregation of the righteous. You ever ask somebody to church and they're like, oh, brother, you don't want me to go to church because if I go to church, the walls will fall. Yeah. Huh? Yep, they're like, oh, yeah, you don't want me to walk into church because, oh, no. No, brother, listen. Right? That's a person who thinks of themselves more highly than they ought. You really think that you're more than God? That your life is more than what God can handle? Oh, I've heard that so many times. I said, well, come on, let's see. I want to see. We need a new building anyway. Let's go. Right? We're rebuilding. Or if you find that we're going to rebuild, or ask, hey, brother, you know what? Remember how I told you? You're asking you to church, and you're telling me, hey, yeah, you don't want me to come to church because the walls were crumble. Well, actually, we're rebuilding, so can you come with me to church so that we can, you know, cut some cost on some demolition? And then the Bible says in verse 6, I know it's a lot to take in. That's why I put the addresses up there. And you can go back and reread them. This passage is very, very clarifying. These first three verses are us. They're us. They're what God has given us. They're what we have in Christ Jesus. But we cannot just stand idle. We have to minister and be witnesses. We have to meditate on the word of God. Verse 6 says this: for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. What is the reason for all of this? Well, King James says, our new King James, and the King James as well, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. He is not only aware of their lives or our lives, but he approves of them according to the finished work of Jesus Christ. What a contrast. What a contrast between the life of the blessed man and the wicked. Extreme contrast. With the termination of... Once the life of the sinful person is terminated, that means eternal death. Eternal death. Once our life here on earth is done with, that means eternal life. We cannot emphasize enough, however, that a person's destiny is not determined by how perfect our lives are actually lived out. The determining factor is whether he or she has ever been born again, by putting their faith in Jesus Christ. As we prepare to close this morning, Romans, what do I mean by our determining factor, right? The book of Romans, beautiful book, chapter 5. And I still sometimes get stuck on these two verses because it keeps me in awe. Again, let me repeat this statement. The determining factor is whether, it's not how perfect we lived, but it's whether or not he or she has been born again by faith in Jesus Christ. Paul lets us know this right here in Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. If we're going to stand for anything, we're going to stand for Jesus Christ in faith in Jesus Christ. We stand in this and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. This is the determining factor. If we're at peace with God, we have gained access by this faith that has given us the ability to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And lastly, As my brother comes back up in here and we up here and we get ready to enter into a time of communion, I want to end this message. I want to end this message with the words of Jesus Christ, because I want to encourage us, as we have just witnessed what it looks like to be a blessed person in Jesus Christ, right? What it looks like, some characteristics of that. We see not so with the wicked. Very easy. The wicked deny Jesus Christ. It's not that God sends anybody to hell. It's here we are. Make a choice. Choose life or death today. And if you choose not Jesus Christ because you want to live for yourself, well, essentially you're choosing eternal damnation. People need to understand that. That's why we as witnesses need to preach and teach and witness to the sin, to the righteousness, and to the judgment that lies ahead. But Jesus Christ says this, and this is the thought that I want us to have as we enter into our time of communion, which is self-serve. Is Jesus says in Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 27, and he says to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Other translations will say his soul. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. This morning, I ask you, to echo in your spirits the words that Jesus just said. Ask yourself, am I waking up every morning and denying myself? Am I picking up my cross daily, crucifying myself so my will not be done, but God's will be done? And am I following Jesus? Pray with me as we enter into a time of communion. And again, it's self-serve. Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, there is just not enough time throughout the day, and that's why it's important for us to meditate on your word day and night. Though it is a beautiful thing that we gather here together as the church body, but Lord, this relationship that we have with you does not start and end in this building. This is a blessing to be with our brothers and sisters, to encourage one another, to remind each other, but Lord, the walk that we have is with you and you alone. Our relationship is not part-time. It's a full-time relationship, Lord God. So when we leave this building and we go in our cars and we go our separate ways and we may not see each other till next Sunday, if it be your will, we know that we live this relationship out daily. So Father, as we partake in communion this morning, after reading these six verses, Lord, let us be encouraged. Let us feel blessed because we, Lord God, are reflective of those first three verses, not because of who we are within ourselves or anything we bring to the table, but everything is because of you. And Lord, the unfortunate flip side of that is those who choose not to know you, who refuse you during this dispensation of grace, this church era where you display your grace for all. Let us reflect as we take communion, because you said, do this until I return. Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.